Good evening. I'd like to call the Clean Water Commission meeting for Wednesday, September 2nd, 2015, to order. First thing we'll do is do the roll call. Sign-in sheet should be passing around. Kate Chu, here. Art Schneider,
here.
Susan Rasmussen,
here.
David Meyer,
here.
David McDevitt,
here.
Marie Lamont,
present.
Jim Carlson, not in attendance. Jerry Schaefer, MIA. And Dick Rylander, present. So here's, we have 7 of the 19 water commissioners. We do have a quorum. Just before we have our new liaison, Chris, go over the packet, I'm just going to sort of ask everybody if you'll take maybe a minute and a little bit of silence for our park printer. Thank you. So with that, we'll turn the table over to our new liaison, Clifford.
And I believe this evening in your packet, you should have, we put in a physical copy of, we've got the meeting minutes from last week, or from the last meeting, I'm sorry, and that meeting was on July 1st, 2015. Also in the packet, you have a copy of the slide presentation that Mr. Benton will be giving. Also, you'll find in your packet a copy of the preliminary, of the revised preliminary draft clean water study. And I believe those are the three items you have in tonight. And we have two guests here tonight to speak to you, Director Benton and Mr. Benning, the new clean water division manager. Oh, and one item of cleanup. The clean water, I've always called us the clean water division, but we aren't technically the clean water division. I don't even, not even sure I know what the name of it was. Do you remember clean what our official name is?
Resource Policy and Planning.
We were the Resource Policy and Planning Division. We are now the Clean Water Division, as everyone calls us the Clean Water Division. So, so with that, has everyone got the items that are in there? I guess we'll go ahead and we'll need a motion for the. Has everyone gone over the minutes? I'll pick that up. Okay.
All right. Any questions about the packet of meeting materials for Mr. Cooper before we get started? No. So moving on to the next item, I'd like to have you review the meeting minutes from our last meeting. If there are any questions, comments, or changes, please want to enter into the record. That would be a good time. If there are no changes, then I would entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
Great motion. Accept the minutes.
A motion. Any discussion? Sorry. Have a second. All in favor of approving the minutes as they stand?
Aye.
Any opposed? No.
Abstain. I wasn't at the meeting, so.
Okay. The first one. So we have 7 yeas, 1 abstention, and 1 not in attendance. So meeting notes accepted.
For the record, Mr. Schaefer made the motion, and it was seconded by Mr. Schneider. Thank you.
So, we move to public comments. Do we have any public comments? No. All right. If there are no public comments, then we'll close public comment session number 1 at this particular point. Next item on the agenda is the presentation / discussion / recommendation / action. And this must be associated with our leader, Mr. Don Benson. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate your recognition. Welcome. New members of the commission, and there's a few new ones left on. I was here, so welcome. We certainly appreciate your volunteer efforts.
Hi, David.
Haven't seen you in a while. Thank you for what you're doing. What's that, Gary?
Nobody has.
Yeah. I just as a side note, I passed around here, made an interesting visit last week to a company in Vancouver, believe it or not, that actually manufactures pervious pavers. And that's a new version. This company used polyurethane to bind the aggregate, and that polyurethane costs about $6 a pound. It makes the cost of that brick about $1.50. And you hold that under a faucet, the water runs right through as if the brick wasn't there, believe it or not. It's pretty amazing. And so when you talk about pervious pavers, that's what they're talking about. There are not many people that make them, and the fact that we have our own manufacturer right here in Vancouver that makes them is pretty exciting. But they have discovered how to make it even greener, if you can believe that. And they now have found a way, and a process out of New Zealand, to bind that without using polyurethane. They bind that aggregate now using PET plate from ground up soda pop bottles, plastics. PET plastic flake is what, so now not only is it pervious, but we get to use recycling material to make them. And instead of having a 3,000-pound pressure test, it holds 4,500 pounds. It's even stronger than the polyurethane was, and the PET flake is 25 cents a pound, which allows them now to sell the brick one-third less than they sold it for before, and they're able to double their profit from 20% to 40%. So this is the future. This is what's coming with the new technology. It's really very exciting. So I wanted to bring that as a brochure that is going around. I'm not promoting the company. I just wanted you to be aware of how fast things are moving in this area. When you can drop your cost from $6 a pound to 25 cents a pound and get a better engineering result, that's pretty significant. So we're kind of excited about it. We're doing a demonstration project on impervious surfaces out at Heritage Farm. We were able to obtain a direct grant from the legislature with no matching required in the budget last year for this project. So we'll be constructing a new parking lot at Heritage Farm using hopefully several different, but at least one, type of pervious surface, whether it's pervious concrete, pervious pavers. So we're about ready to go to bid on that. So it'll be very exciting to see how that pans out. Yes, sir.
Here for Ben. I have a question. It's been proven in many cases, particularly in, for instance, in hoses where oxygen masks are, many of these plastics have polyvinyl chloride leaching out of them over time.
Mm-hmm.
And have they done these tests to make sure that there's no leaching of any polyvinyl chloride or anything?
No, I don't know the answer to that. That's a great question.
Yeah.
We'll ask that question.
Okay.
I have a different question.
Yes,
if you use ground up soda pop bottles, what does the water taste like when it goes through?
Like soda pop.
I prefer diet. So that's why I asked.
Just an interesting aside, and the fact that we actually have a fella right here in Vancouver that manufactures.
It's really cool. You can take it over to that sink and watch the water go right through it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just awesome. Check this out. This is so brilliant.
Can't see.
It really is. Really pretty amazing stuff. It really is. So, on then to the actual agenda item. And, Chris, are you going to click for me?
Yes, I am.
It looks like the Board of Commissioners is locked up there. So, and I don't have a key to their little cabinet there. So. I've got just a brief PowerPoint to kind of bring everybody up to speed where we're at in terms of the department in the fee studies. And those of you who have been here for a while are very familiar with, but last year the Board of Commissioners asked us to conduct a study that would provide information to them that would help them look at whether or not the fee that is currently charged for clean water is a proper fee, an effective fee, or if there's some way to spread the cost of maintaining our department to other types of polluters rather than just property owners. So we completed a preliminary study. This commission did some work on that. We did not conduct any scientific reviews. We did not have the money for that. And what we did is we collected a number, well, I'll tell you about that as we go on. The study of the Clean Water Commission and moving forward. So let me just tell you where we're at now. The board accepted the report, the preliminary draft that we provided to them. And after they accepted that, they removed Section F from county code that required the study. Since the study had been submitted, they didn't think it needed to continue in the code. The study, however, will be used. There are several commissioners that have said that they want it fine-tuned. They've asked for additional. One of the commissioners asked us to do some additional work on PCBs, which we are doing and have done. That input that we got from both the county manager and at least one of the commissioners has been added into this preliminary report that you now have, this study here. And we're now asking the Clean Water Commission to take this preliminary draft, read through it carefully, mark it up, correct it, look for typos. We think we got them all, but you know how that is. The more eyes, the better. If there's an area, like one of the board members wanted more information pieces, if there's an area you think you'd like to see us flush that out a little more, and a little more data on it, a little more information, make that note, and we'll certainly try to get that. So we just want you to have input to this in terms of more, less, that should go, this should stay, et cetera. We have not attached the studies that we investigated to write this. They will be available. There's a 600-page California Department of Transportation Caltrans study that was a very extensive study done to determine what is in the gutters and in the roadways and in their stormwater systems. Very elaborate study. We didn't need to pay for one. They did one. We think the roads in California are probably pretty much like the roads here. Maybe a little less rain. But
is that solid waste contamination or is that fluid contamination, like for oil and other fluids that may be leaching out of vehicles?
They analyzed everything that they found in their stormwater drains and their road size.
Okay.
Mostly solid waste, I believe. Although there was some comment about oil spills and things like that on the side of the road. So it wasn't just restricted to that.
Okay.
We also, shortly after we presented options to the board for fees last year, the Department of Ecology issued a study, a fairly elaborate study, on PCBs in newspapers and how they're contaminated with PCBs and so on and so forth. So we also have a copy of that study. So, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are two or three different studies that will be attached to this as the appendix. We don't plan on attaching the Caltrans study. It's 600 pages. It's just too long. But it's available for reference. If somebody wants to see it, we have it and so on. But the smaller studies that we reference in here and utilize will be attached in the appendix, which is not part of this yet. That's why it's a preliminary draft. We will finalize that. Once we have your feedback, then we will attach those studies, okay, and so on.
Will the larger document, the 600-page document, be available online?
Yes.
PDF file and so on?
It's available. Yeah, there are links to it. And I believe the links are cited in the study.
Yeah, there are links in here now, so you can go right on your computer and use these links to type them in and access that information. So, we just didn't print it and put it in here for you. It's easily accessible. The preliminary study, the language in the statute was pretty clear. It said, reevaluate the current methodology of assessing the clean water fee. An examination of alternative methods for collecting the clean water fee. And an examination of the allocation of the fee to those whose behaviors and their conduct indicate that they generate a higher pollutant impact on the surface and groundwater of Clark County. So looking at our current methodology, looking at alternative methods, and then looking at the degree to which we apply those methods based on your contribution to the pollutant and the impact in the county. So that was really our charge, okay? And so you will find many different jurisdictions were looked at. Not everybody does it the way we do it. There are many different jurisdictions around the country that apply fees in different ways. And those are outlined in here, many of those options. And so we cover a lot of that. There's one county in California, I think it's maybe the city of Oakland, that applies an actual litter fee to convenience stores. It's very interesting. So a number of different options and variables. The study does not, our study, does not answer any questions. It does not recommend any actions, nor does it provide any solutions to any problem. It is merely a study of the available options that are out there under our law. There's some fees we can't impose under state law that other states could, but we can't because of the way the state law is written. It provides the information necessary to assist in exploring the methods to generate additional anticipated revenue demands for the clean water program. The fact remains that the cost for each new permit rise approximately 30% over the last one. Our national pollutant discharge permits are issued every 5 years. And the pattern that we are on is 2013 to 2018, and 2018, and then to 2023. Every time there's a new permit issued, the cost of our compliance for those new requirements in that new permit tend to, on average, cause our cost to rise about 30%. So in anticipation for this, and 14 years went by, and they just tried to cover these cost increases with the money that was coming in, or in different ways, and we found out last year when we were broke, spending $9 million on a revenue stream of 5.2, that it was totally unsustainable. And so we were able to get the commission to raise the fee a little bit. We were able, with the help of an excellent staff, kind of whack our expenses down a few million bucks. And so with a little fee increase, we were able to balance and still have enough money to comply with the law. But it was a, wake-up call in terms of what are we doing next time, and next time, and next time, and are we going to continue to put the burden on the homeowner, the property owner? And this, and the commissioners began to ask questions as well. Do we continue to put the burden on the homeowner, or is there somewhere else maybe we can, is there someone causing an unfair spike in costs that maybe they should be paying, right? So that really got us to thinking, how are we going to do this? Because if we continue down the same road we're going down and the costs continue to rise, over the course of the next 50 or 60 years, the clean water fee on your property tax bill could be $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000. I mean, it'll just keep going up. And so we're not sure that that's sustainable either in terms of raising those costs on, especially rural property owners who tend to infiltrate most of their runoff right on their own property. So these are the reasons why this study was insisted upon by the board. They want to look at other options to see if there's a way to share the cost. Our new permit cycle in 2018 certainly will bring additional costs. There's no question about that. And we anticipate that those additional costs will be approximately $1.5 billion in additional operating costs to our clean water division. So moving forward, we want to find methods for generating the anticipated additional revenues necessary to maintain compliance with the new NPDES program. I'm happy to report, and I'm sure you all realize, that for the first time in many, many years, shortly after my hiring, we became compliant with both state and federal clean water laws and have remained compliant and will, under my direction, continue to remain compliant with all state and federal laws without being under court order to do so. So we're pretty proud of that. We're happy not to have the courts telling us how to do our job. We're doing our job, and we're doing it well. We want to be able to continue to do that, but we know in advance that that's going to require additional revenue. And so instead of waiting around and then taking whatever comes our way, we're trying to be proactive in terms of preparing for the additional cost of the new permit. And we need your help to do that. And I think that that is exactly why the Clean Water Commission was created, to provide help in this area. Two heads are always better than one. And we've got a lot of good, smart people here that have a lot of good connections in the community. We want you to look through this, read through this, ask any questions, ask for more if you want it, because we want to incorporate that in. We'll put in the appendixes, and then we'll issue a final report. And that final report then will be used, hopefully, recommendations from the Clean Water Commission will be used by the Board of Commissioners to determine whether or not we continue with the same method that we've been using, whether we use a new method, or whether we have a hybrid, continue to use the same method to some degree and introduce one, two, or three or more additional ideas that can help offset the cost of this growth. So that's where we're at. We're asking you for your input and your help to help finalize the options. And if you think you need more, just turn the whole thing back in if you want. You know, make notes on it. Call Chris, talk to him about it. Chris is heading up this effort. Most all of this writing, I think 90% of this writing that you was written by Chris, so he's read and studied more than one little puppy's face. And he's looking for your help and input on how to fine-tune it and make it better. Does that make sense? Yes, sir. You look like you have a question, Jerry.
I do. I have two questions. Number one, have we now received all of the information that we previously promised?
Yes.
By June?
Yeah.
Last year? Okay. That was one. The second thing is just a kind of a strange question. Those bricks, wherever they went. If somebody has those bricks and just permeable ground on their property, does that mean that they're exception? They're accepted from the clean water fees?
No.
If it's totally permeable?
No.
Okay. Why not?
Because the code reads that a residence is treated as an ERU, equal residential unit, and a residence is a residence is a residence because they have impervious surface on their roof. The roof is impervious surface. So even if their driveway and their sidewalks were pervious pavers, there would still be a pervious surface of the roof that needs to be mitigated. And so when it was set up 14 years ago, it was determined that the standard equivalent residential unit would be 3,500 square feet. Now, some folks have 35,000 square feet, but it's a residence. We still charge them one ERU. Businesses, commercial operations are charged differently by the ERU. So if you have 7,000 square feet, you pay two ERUs, equivalent residential unit. If you have 14,000, you're going to pay four. So, depending on how much pavement you have, how much roof you have, a commercial will pay by the square foot, whereas residential units, the board determined at the time, regardless of whether you have a big house with a 10,000 square foot roof or a small house with a 500 square foot roof, you will pay the same, with the exception of the rural landowner. They are given a discount based on the amount of acreage they have to infiltrate I think it goes as low as $19, doesn't it, for the 20-acre parcels?
With the increase, I'm not sure.
There's a schedule. But if
unless you're in an urban growth boundary.
Right. If you're in the urban growth boundary.
And you have your own 5 acres and your own detention bond on a private road.
You're still going to pay the urban
growth
boundary.
You're still going to pay the higher
penalty. You're still going to pay the higher inside the urban growth boundary.
So we probably have some additional questions. Will you entertain some questions?
I'd be happy to answer any questions. If I can, I'll try to answer any questions that I can. And if I can, I'll refer them to our scientists.
Less questions but comments on this. First of all, thank you finally for delivering this to us. The comment that I have on the public record is that as a member of this Water Commission, we're all volunteers. And we worked very hard leading up to the initial draft that was presented to us in May. And frankly, we felt like we were going to continue to be engaged along the process leading to the presentation of the report to the council. And despite repeated requests for information as to what the status was, I felt like our role has been diminished in the last 3 months since we were supposed to, or 2 months since we were supposed to receive this. And without any indication as to why. I've had some private conversations with Dick and we've heard about what some of those reasons might have been, possibly associated with the elections recently, and that if the report made it to the councilors or made it to us, that it would become a public record. And I don't know whether that's true or not, but I really feel that the way that this has been handled in presenting this study to us tonight has really diminished us as a value-added contributor to this process, because we have a lot of work to do in the next year. And we really feel like if we had been engaged as we have been promised to be engaged leading up to the presentation of the preliminary study to councilors, this report might have a slightly different flavor, or at least it would have our tacit stamp of approval. Right now, I cannot look at this study and give you any, because this is the first time that I've seen it.
Of course.
And so it appears to me that we've kind of pushed this process back a little bit. And we have a lot of work to do in the next year. I feel it is incumbent on your department, with all due respect, Mr. Benton, to be upfront with us and explain to us why we weren't going to get the report when it was promised. And I'm asking you for an explanation right now.
Sure. I appreciate that. I take responsibility for it because I'm the director. I will say, however, I never received a call from you or the chairman of your board indicating any of this to me until I just took it right now for Neil. Okay. If I had, I may have been able to act on it. So.
There were inquiries that were made by Mr. Wolf prior to his passing, and I believe that Dick had also made some inquiries, and I, as a matter of protocol, wanted to push everything through Mr. Reinlander, because his position is chair.
Sure.
And my understanding is that there had been some comments made and provided that to Mr. Wolf prior to the alignment.
I am not, nor is our department asking for any kind of approval tonight.
I understand.
Okay. So that would be certainly ridiculous to hand you a document like this to say, oh, we want you to bless it or whatever. No, we want you, it's a preliminary draft. We want you to take as much time as you need to provide us with the feedback, because we value that. Okay. The draft or preliminary draft to the board was delivered to the board's office prior to the 8th of July. It was held by the county manager and the board until they were ready to receive it, which I certainly can't control. That's the only explanation that I have. The report was ready to go in a draft form because we're still waiting for feedback from them. In fact, we've asked the commissioners for their feedback on this report, and we only received feedback from one of them, and they've had the report for nearly a month. Over. Okay. So we can only move as quickly as our commission moves. And so I apologize for that. I take responsibility for not coming and explaining that to you. I assume that it had been explained to you. And so I apologize that it wasn't.
Thank you. Moving forward then, is there anything that we as a commission and members of the working group can do to provide comments or support the councilors as they continue to review this report and move it forward from a preliminary draft to a single final draft?
Sure.
What can we do as a group to help blend in and provide the right type of input that they may be able to receive?
Well, number one, what I indicated, if you want more information or you think we've missed something or some alternative that's out there or you're familiar with some other jurisdiction that's doing something different, we want to know about it. We want to add it as one of the options. In the end, when we're done with that, we would like for you to then examine all of them and pick from your community. You can even take this. We would hope that you would make, and I know that Dick and I have talked about, you know, about the commission's role in the community in terms of making presentations and so on. I think it would be perfectly fine, and I would hope that you would be willing to take this out, discuss the alternatives with groups, and talk to the citizens about it. Which would you prefer? Would you rather pay a fee on your cars or on your property taxes? Would you rather pay, you know, how, vet it, if you will, in the community, and see what kind of feedback we get there. But we, and based on that, perhaps then you feel, would feel comfortable making a recommendation to the board. We think these three items, instead of the property tax, or these two items in addition to a lowered property, you know, clean water fee on the property, whatever combination you think is best for the citizens in the community, we'd like to see that recommendation from this commission.
Would this report have to be in a more finalized form before it's vetted to the public? In order for it to become public record?
I don't think we'll know that door.
This is, now it is public record?
It is public record.
Yeah.
But that's really not an issue. So it would seem to me then that we as a group need to meet probably at another separate meeting once we've had a chance to review all this documentation, put a timeline in there. A timeline for which we can provide some additional comments back to your staff, and then a timeline for vetting this in some type of public setting. I'd actually like to speak to Commissioner Rasmussen for some guidance on that, because I know that you have some history with the last work that was done in 1999, and he has some good suggestions.
Is your question, are we still going to, we had task teams. Yeah, are we still going to work in task teams, or are you envisioning a couple of larger collaborative efforts?
I'd be open to suggestions from anybody on that.
I would like to especially suggest members that we kind of have the task teams start working on their charters and then collectively get together and review our findings. And smooth it out and decide if we're going to put our presentations or whatever products we're going to act to the ESG. But first of all, you know, you need to start collecting actions first, review it, and then maybe even larger really.
So as I recall, the original intent, so the original plan was to receive this draft report, have the task team have it at the end of June, have the task team review it, and then come to the July meeting with recommendations.
Yeah. I think that's still the plan.
Our next meeting is not scheduled until November, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to decide whether or not this would be a reasonable reason for us to have a special meeting in October if we feel like we have to move the needle, keep moving it along, or just meet.
I would suggest that the past team leaders kind of take a glance at what we got and make that decision.
I suggest let's finish the questions that are around the table
right.
At this particular point, and then we can move on to a more general discussion.
Oh, hey, let me just follow up, David, on the other thing that you said. And I want each of you to know that I am available at any time. I think it's great that you want to work through the chair, and Dick and I do communicate. But I'm happy to take, and I just had a meeting the other day with Susan on another matter. So I'm happy to take calls or meetings with any member of the commission at any time about any subject. And I do that with my staff as well. I have an open door policy. I believe in absolute transparency. And so please, and I think I've said that before, but I'll reiterate that. I want to hear from you. You are an advisory commission to the Board of Commissioners, but I also value your advice. And so if you think something's not working right, or if there's some issue, or you just want to run an idea by me or ask me a question, I'm totally accessible and absolutely willing to do that at any time. In fact, I think I met with Gary just last week, so I'm happy to do that. There's several of you that I have not met with, and I look forward to that. Happy to meet you. So,
Dave, anything else?
Nope.
Susan, you had some?
Okay. I have a couple of things. Back in the land before time, the sea was set really low because we inherited, for lack of a better term, a slush fund. and he did not feel. It came from an established road fund, and I believe the Burnt Bridge Creek, which had been, it was supposed to have been a dedicated fund, but somehow it got rolled into the overall budget. And I'm not sure, do you remember where the other money came from, Art, back 15 years ago?
The
road fund. The road fund. And we did not feel that it was reasonable. That as long as we had, you know, it was over $1 million. As long as we had that money sitting there, that we could not charge the full board fee. So all along, in essence, the fee that had been in place had been supplemented via that fund. Now, also, back in when we were giving ourselves some policy direction, one thing that always came to the forefront time and again was an incentive program. And I feel that's in the interest of giving the citizens a broad spectrum. You know, we have polluters' fees on the table as well. I believe, you know, we should also maybe reconsider that incentive program. It has been a tough go, and I'd like to...
I missed that. A what program?
Consider
an incentive. Okay, thank you.
Portland had one, and it was tied to planting of trees. 2 years ago, I was getting emails from the Portland program about... a homeowner plants so many trees, and they have so much of a deduction. And I'm curious to know if there's any jurisdiction in the state that has an incentive program that's running well. Ours never could get off the ground. One reason was because our fees were so low that we didn't have really any place to go from to provide
Could I make a request?
Sure.
I appreciate what you're sharing there, but it may be more along of a solution type of situation, and maybe for the moment at least, if we have specific questions for Mr. Benton.
Well, I guess my question is there anything beholding in this new fee program to our district?
I'll take a shot at that. I'm not sure I really understand the question. This is not a new fee program. This is a study of all the options available for shifting the fees. I'm not aware of another jurisdiction, at least in this state, or you, Chris, that offers a discount or an incentive for doing something different to get a reduction in the fee. In fact, I believe our rural discount for infiltration is one of the few in the state. I don't think I've seen that in other counties.
Snohomish County does a system very similar to
that. Do they have a rural one where they allow a discount for infiltration? So that's the only discount program that I'm familiar with in Washington State, where they, because of the size of your property and the ability to infiltrate on site, that they lower the fee. And like I said, I think in rural Park County it gets as low as $19.
$21.80.
So,
$21.80.
Well, $21.80 now with the
with the increase,
With the increase, it used to be $19, but we had a little increase last year. So, and that's from what was 33 down to 19. It'd be like 37 now down to 20 or whatever. But if you're inside the urban growth boundary, we don't offer any discounts because 70% of our expenses occur within the urban growth boundary. So, to answer your question. No, there's no additional discounts discussed in this report. Just the infiltration discount for size of acreage is the only one that we're aware of. If there are others out there that are working, we want to know about it. Okay. But again, the fee is so low and the rural discount is already in place, I think the board will be hard-pressed to institute any additional discounts or incentives, to be quite honest. We are the lowest phase one clean water fee in Washington State, as far as I know.
There are some there are, I wouldn't call them discounts. Well, there are a couple of discounts by state law for senior citizens. There's
sure.
hardship discounts.
Traditional property tax, because we go on the property tax bill, the clean water fee is subject essentially to those senior discounts.
And then forestry lands are exempt from the state law. And then, of course, my favorite is DOT gets a 70% reduction in their fee.
DOT pays 30% of what our county road fund pays by statute. They receive a 70% discount from the clean water.
What about the railroad?
Much of the railroad is exempt from the clean water fee because of the piling, the rock that holds the tracks up is considered
yeah.
an impervious surface. A pervious surface. The water runs through it, and so they don't generate.
They do pay. The county railroad pays on their landings and on their sidings and on their. I think they pay $3,000 or $4,000. I mean, they're pretty hefty fee.
Maybe five.
But it's not for the track. It's for other stuff.
Okay.
It's for all our buildings and hub stations and stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Not for the tracks.
Not for the tracks.
Another question.
The first thing that crossed my mind was vehicles, because I know the older they get, the more they drift.
Brake dust, tire wear, all of those things add to our stove on. You bet.
The options, I'm presuming that this document is really a reflection of brainstorming, if you will. And that you're asking us to do more brainstorming. Is that a fair assumption?
I guess brainstorming, a combination of really research and looking at other jurisdictions and seeing what they're doing, even out in other states, really.
Okay.
What are the options? And really looking at pollutions. I mean, we started early on, way before this, with a staff team, and I said, tell me everything you guys see out there. Who's polluting our waters? I think we ended up with 17 or 18... Coke bottles, newspapers, drippy cars, da 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 da. And so we then took that big list that our staff had brainstormed, and then we went into the research mode and said, can we apply a fee to newspapers? Can we apply a fee to Coke bottles? Can we apply a fee to drippy cars? Right? Some we could, some we couldn't. And we went through this process, and we came to the board then with the most likely, and one of them was system delivery charges. We don't charge developers to hook up to the clean water system. Okay? The board has authorized us to prepare a system, a connection charge. So we're moving down that road as one of the options. Another one was private roads. Do we charge on private roads, right? The same way we charge the county roads. The answer is no, we really don't. And the board opted that they didn't want to go there. Okay. So there are a few. They wanted to do the newspaper fee. They wanted to do the system delivery charge. But all those other 18 things that were on the board, we went back then in this report and said, are any of those viable? Are there any other jurisdictions doing those? And so on. And so that's what this is really a compilation of what can you do, how much can you do it, and what authority do you have to have, and where do you have to get that authority to do it. We found the health department has more authority to charge fees for public health and safety than just about any other entity in the county does,
sure.
Under the state law.
Sure, so that's another kind of a follow-up question. As part of this is, to what extent does existing state law inhibit the ability of this body to generate revenues from some of the sources listed?
It definitely does inhibit us on some areas, and if we find something that we like that would require a change in state law, we're in a unique position to be able to present that option to the state legislature.
Okay. My initial look, as I mentioned, the first thing I looked at was vehicles.
It's in here.
It's a pet peeve, but it's let's call it 3/4 of a page. And it's pretty simple. And I can imagine, after having read that alone, that there may be many people in the public that will take exception to that simplicity. They'll talk about things like, I only drive 1,000 miles a year. They'll talk about things like, my neighbor drives 20,000 miles a year. They'll talk about, my car's brand spanking new. And they'll talk about, and my neighbor's car is 40 years old.
Of course.
And so they'll take the opportunity to do those kinds of comparisons. And they'll ask for some kind of reprieve. And I think that in the overall scheme of things, you know, we have some resources that may contribute to resolving some of that. For example, every time you renew your license, you go over here and you have to have your emissions test.
Right.
And they can take down your mileage too. And you can determine how many miles they're driving. And that data is readily available because computers are taking over the world, right?
Where insurance companies are going to insurance policies on vehicle miles driven.
Again, I want to not focus on solutions at this particular point, so I want to focus on questions.
So you're open to hearing about some of those.
Absolutely. There are several members of my staff that think the auto is the way to go because when a store builds a store and asks for a building permit, they have to tell us how many anticipated trips they expect every day. Okay, so we can tell by the car activity how many drips of oil are going to be in their parking lot, can't we? Because they already have to tell us how many trips they're expecting. So there are some tools out there to do that with. And there are members of our staff that think that's the fairest approach because they have the greatest impact on clean water. Not all, but some. So we're very open to that as a possibility. We're not sure how open the Board of Commissioners will be to those possibilities, but we want to present all the possibilities to them.
Yeah. I mean, in a perfect world, wouldn't it be nice if we could offer the account and they create a perfect fit with buying from a local distributor? That would be great. But I just want to bring this full circle. What is your timeline on us reviewing this, making Yelp and getting it back to you?
Excellent question. As I said before, the permits operate in 3 years. We have not yet adopted the new county codes for our 2013 permit. We have until January of 2016 to do that under the law. It's moving along at a very good pace, and we're prepared to have the Planning Commission adopt those in October, and the board probably adopt them in November. And there's been mountains of work that have been done to get to that point. Just last week, Ecology indicated to us that they're now ready to sign off on our new stormwater plan. And they give you, you know, it's all in the 5-year timeline. So about the time we get finished with this, then we'll want to be getting started on the next 5-year one because we'll only be able to operate for 2 years under that permit and we'll have to have a new one. So we would like for you to at least a preliminary read through with your request for fleshing out additional information, et cetera, we'd like to have that hopefully by your next meeting, if you could. Okay.
Director Ben.
That's 2 months, I think, isn't it?
Last year, we had a request to review the county data and determine if the ESD had all of the data necessary to make these recommendations. And what came out of that was David Meyer's committee was that we felt they had all the data that they needed at that time, except that they did not have any data on the cleanup costs or the mitigation costs of solid waste. Are those recommendations now in this report?
No.
No.
From a quick review, it looks like we addressed that topic. We talked about solid waste.
We talked about Watley Pit. We talked about the street sweepings and the sediment trap.
Watley Pit is the county facility where all street sweepers, including Amos and Wasat, dump their street sweepings. Okay, at Watley Pit.
And we have a and I maybe we should have you guys out there one day.
In fact, they dump all the back trucks and vacuum out all of our stormwater facilities. Those who dumped it want me to do. It's very interesting to see what comes out of
the back. It's an amazing process. But the vac trucks that take from the dry wells, take from the sediment bins, pump into the separate section of Whatley Pit, the covered section, that soil is too hot to be reused in any way. And so
it's got too much
heavy metal in it, and it's too heavily loaded. So that has to be dried out. There's a process we go through with it, and we end up shipping it to a landfill. I believe there's a photo in the report. We had large amounts of street sweepings out there. DOT used those this year as fill. For some work, I believe, wasn't it on 117 or 119?
I don't know where it was.
On
but
one
they
of them.
Took them. Yeah.
And they took the bulk of it. There's only one very large mound and a smaller one out there right now.
So it sounds like there is some additional information in here that may be able to use to visit that question that we raised last year.
But in terms of data, which is what you're talking about, the source for data on that solid waste, a great source, is the Caltrans study. They were very thorough in collecting the data that contaminates the size of the roads and so on and so forth.
To get that kind of information is a very expensive undertaking.
And I think we realized after our discussion that you had said that the county doesn't have enough money to do any further studies.
We don't have
enough. And that rather by taking the existing information, looking at the healthy watershed information that has been collected for the last dozen or so years, we know that there's particular weakness or there's some great water quality, maybe it makes some correlation between land use and certain other activities occurring within those watersheds to infer where the greatest potential for resources. So that seems to be where we have left it. Now we have to look at this and see whether there's any additional gaps that we might want to ask the government to take through. And I don't see any problem. Thanks for bringing up that question at the time. I don't see any issue at all in providing those comments back to the staff.
Let me also add, especially for the scientists in the room, and I know you do a lot of scientific work, if you're familiar with other studies that we might be able to also tap to use some of that data to make a case, we're happy to add those to the appendix or reference them in the report as well. So we welcome that input for those of you that work in the scientific arena and you are familiar with some other study that may help us. We want to read it.
I have just a couple of other, just waiting for everybody else to work through. So.
Sure.
And some of these may seem a little trite, but the $1.5 million that you anticipate will be needed in addition for the next permit, I'm just curious on your operating expenses, providing the services between now and then, is that $1.5 million inflation adjusted, or is that just in today's dollars? I only ask because that actually could be substantial. It could be over $2 million.
Sure.
As an example. So I didn't know if it was inflation adjusted.
No.
It's not. Now, in this, again, slightly different area, but in this GMA process that's going on, there certainly is the potential for change in rural land use, which could lead to more lots being produced in some range numbers that perhaps we've all seen. In those cases, each of those lots would then generate a fee.
Mm-hmm.
Has the consideration for the impact of the additional money from the fees from the additional lots in the GMA process been taken into account in projecting your income?
The answer is no, and that is because we are waiting for the board to...
No, I get
we need
number.
To know what alternative they're going to adopt in the comp plan before we can calculate that.
I've seen 4,000, I've seen 12,000.
Right.
So okay. But
good point, though. Excellent point.
Even if you took sort of a minimum anticipated that goes with that, and did your numbers, I mean, just So I just want to try to make sure that we've fleshed out these other things so that when we come back to the table, we may not need 1.5 million. Maybe you need 500,000, or you need 3 million. I mean,
excellent point. Let me just add, let me answer your question by saying that 1.5 is based on past increases.
Figure, sure.
Okay.
But
so
not inflation adjusted.
It might be zero. I highly doubt it. Because every time they give us a new permit, there's more requirements in it. But who knows? Miracle of miracles. Maybe next permit, they'll say, okay, these requirements are good enough. We're just going to keep those going. And if that's the case, then we only are dealing with inflation. So it could potentially be significantly less. It could also be significantly more, Dick. We just don't know. The 1.5 number is based on past history. Yeah, rather than future anticipation.
So beyond the sort of November time frame feedback on this particular report, you have a sort of vision moving beyond that as to what this commission will be doing relative to either additional work on the additional work on looking for other options, and what time frame is that? So I see this narrow sort of November, next 2 months, but take us, or if you can.
This is my vision, that you'll give us the feedback that we're looking for at your next meeting, that we'll be able to incorporate that feedback, do the research on some additional stuff. Not a lot of research, we don't have the money for that, but we can incorporate your concepts, and by your next meeting, have a final study.
For January.
Okay. And once you have that, it would be my hope, and you would, and you and I have talked about going into the community and talking about the, you know, what we do, and kind of a talking tour, if you will, and so on. It would be my hope that you would then embark upon an effort to go on an outreach campaign, collecting information and data and input from the community on what you think the different options. So maybe take the first month, look through these and say, gee, these are the ones the commission can agree on. Let's go get feedback from the community on these. That's what I'm hoping.
Okay, then is there a time frame, for instance, in the year? Is it the year 2016,
yes,
or is it by the middle of 2016 that you're going to look for more detailed suggestion feedback? I'm just trying to get a sense of the timing, because
sure,
as we start planning.
Late winter, early spring.
Exactly. Come back by next meeting, by January, you've got a final. Then you guys deliberate, decide over the next 3 or 4 months. You are in an outreach mode, collecting input. I'm thinking by July or August, you may be able to then come to some conclusion and finalize some recommendations.
I guess I'd like to throw something else out there too. November generally is, you know, when we elect our board members, you know, chairman and such. We also talk about what we need to do for our 2015 annual report.
Sure.
And things like that. And I think I really am sensitive to Dick's question here. We need to know whether we're talking about the first of the year, or whether we're talking about the middle of the year, 2016, or what we're doing. And I think the first question is, once we have that timeline, you know, for instance, if we are talking about early 2016, maybe we need to have a October meeting where we've all read this thing, and we get back and have a brainstorm and see where we go from there, so that we don't take up the November meeting, you know. But and we also lay our plans so that we can begin process of, you know, public outreach, or generating materials for public outreach and things like that. So that's the reason I believe, you know, I'm sensitive to his question about timeline. And I think we need to answer the question based on what the expectations are, not only you, but of the counselors, on timeline. Do we need to have an October meeting?
But we can do that separately. I get the point.
Yeah.
But relative to, I just was trying to get this a little bit longer sort of sense.
I think the year 2016 is a critical year for this commission to come together and make some recommendations to their board.
So probably what we're going to have to do is have a discussion as to what we think needs to be done and what the timing of that process could be so that we can come back and say, here's what we're seeing and here's what we think is involved and here's what we would anticipate delivery time.
And here's our
comment. You brought up a really interesting point concerning the comp plan update. And that brought to mind, do we have any estimates of a loss of revenue from the property that will be rolled into city limits? The cities have all weighed in on their boundary adjustments.
I can.
And so we have that data, so we can probably get a rough estimate of that. I know, you know, right next to me, the remainder lot of cluster development is going into the city limits, and that's 65 acres, which is Richfield. So there's some 65 acres of lost revenue there.
Well, if there's only one house on it, it's $33 like everybody else.
Yeah, one of the things that we find with the annexations is that we did lose, there were some annexations here back, I believe it was about 207. I've looked at the numbers.
Vancouver.
Yeah, where we
there
lost
was a significant loss.
We lost a lot of homes. The county had a real dip in our billable units. But really, for the most part here, it's really kind of, with new construction, very limited annexation. We've been maintaining pretty even for about 4 or 5 years. One of the things about the annexations is, if you look at Camas as an example, where they're going to be putting in, I think it was 1,600 homes, there are not 1,600 homes out there right now. There's only probably 50.
Well, you make
so,
thank you for bringing
you
that
make
up.
A great
That's
point.
An excellent point. We made a note of that. We're going to check with the planning department and see if we get the numbers. But I also want you to understand that with annexation, guess what? We also reduce our expenses significantly because we typically will then deed the stormwater facilities in that annexed area to that city because they're now their responsibility and we don't have to maintain them anymore. And so while we lose revenue, we also lose expenses because we get to jettison those things that we have to maintain. And stormwater facilities, depending on what type they are, especially if they're filter type, can be very expensive to maintain. And so it just depends. So there's a give and a take on that, on annexation. We lose expenses as well as revenue. So
I sort of one other follow-up piece to the rural land potential changes, and that is the other side of the coin, or part of the coin. Will the costs increase if there are more lots generated? Because that is rural. I mean, it's outlying areas. Are the county costs to operate the permit going to go up appreciably more for any reason if the number of lots increases?
Not likely,
because the pollution technically would increase.
It depends on what kind of development there is. If it is more than a single-family home, if there's a developer-driven type development, a cluster of 15 houses, or the cost of the facility and the construction of the facility is on the builder. Okay. Yeah, we have to then pick up maintenance of it, but because we're developing the new system development charge, we are now going forward, as soon as that's adopted by the board, we will then have a way to recoup the cost of maintaining those facilities, which we don't have now. You know, for since its existence, the builder has the option of giving the facility to the HOA to maintain, if there is one. He's created one in his development plan, or when he's done, it reverts to the county to maintain. Unfortunately for us, under the permit, we're responsible if the system fails, whether it's managed by the homeowners association or not. The county's still held accountable for that. So there's a give and a take on it. But typically, if it's more than one home, the builder will build the facility. If it is one home, they normally will, especially in the rural area, because it's 5 or 10 acre minimum, they will infiltrate on their own property, and there is no stormwater facility cost involved in that. Okay.
That's it for my questions.
One last question. So maybe this is something that sounds like we're going to go through the Google documents, and we can, as we go, gather these questions on the Google Docs, so we do not overlap, and we can send them to Mr. Benson and the answers as well. One last question as well. As we do our outreach, where could regulators reach this Greenwater Clean Center?
It's on the web right now. You can access it right now on the web. It was uploaded, I think, either yesterday or this afternoon.
The link right here will get you there.
Thank you for the question. So,
any other questions for Ms. Benson? This point.
If you think of one tomorrow, just give me a ring.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, I'll go into this next section, which is also just a few seconds for me, and then I'm going to excuse myself and leave you to do your business. But it gives me great pleasure, and it's quite an honor to be able to introduce to you our new clean water manager. You know, we've had an acting for some time. We've been without an official clean water manager, and we did a very significant search. We had numerous applicants, very rigorous process, and sitting next to me, Dean Benning rose to the top of that process, and I'm happy to tell you he was head and shoulders above even the second candidate, so we're very lucky to have Dean. Dean comes to us with a very significant background. I'm not going to steal his thunder because he's going to share a bit of his resume with you, but please welcome our new permanent, and I'm very pleased to say this, our new clean water manager, Dean Benning.
So, thank you. Everybody knows, I'm trained as a scientist, basically. I come to you with a strong scientific background, and I want to continue to apply that and use that in this position. I think I'm probably one of the weirdos that uses the scientific method in everything he does every day. I just couldn't send a textbook, but trained as a toxicologist. So for those of you who may not know, basically the behavior of pollutants in the environment, soil, water, air. I had 10 years experience with the EPA Region 10 in the Seattle area. Also in Corvallis, I've worked for the State Department in South America and Europe on clean water issues there at facilities of strategic importance, so to speak. And more recently, I actually worked for kind of a hybrid employee for the stormwater group in Kitsap County, as well as solid waste, which is kind of an interesting nexus because some of what you're talking about tonight, addressing solid waste, and I did, just so you know, Gary, I did an in-depth study on Kitsap County street waste that is available, I can make available to you, looking at contaminants and shoulder soils and ditch soils, vector solids, and comparing all of those. And luckily, the benefit that I had in pulling that report together is that Kitsap actually did their due diligence and quarterly would go out and sample this stuff just on their own. So I had about a decade of data, quarterly data, to draw from and draw some conclusions from. So I think that might help inform the group a little too. But I know Don made the offer to give him a call anytime, and that's very true, and I wanted to make that offer to you as well, if there's any way that I might be able to help with what I might know and share ideas and that would be super. I do have a few business cards that I'll leave out for those of you who might be interested. And then, Susan, I wanted to follow up with you, too, on one of your earlier questions. Kitsap did try an incentive program. Administratively, it just was a nightmare. You couldn't handle it administratively. But what they did do, they fell back to a partnership with the Conservation Service so that those homeowners that wanted to have a pervious driveway, for instance, or rain barrels, things like that, they could go to the Conservation Service, and the Conservation Service gave them like a $5,000 or 50% allowance for various lid features on their property. So they didn't get an exception in their fee, but they did get some financial, something from the Conservation Service through that partnership. So it worked, not necessarily directly from the county, but through a partner. And so I wanted you to know that just as an aside. I think that's kind of it. I buttoned up my background there, but I'm very, very happy to be here. I'm very impressed with the division, the employees of the division are really impressive. We've got a lot of great engineer and scientist brains in my group, I'm very proud to say. And I'm very happy to be here and really enjoyed my 5 weeks. And it's great to be here at my first commission meeting.
Do you also have an open door policy?
I do. Yes. Yeah. Can't help but have a cubicle.
Or open cubicle, yes.
We couldn't be happier to have Dean. If I may, Mr. Chair, this statement, because he reminded me of something that we found in our original brainstorming that I told you about, and that is that there are some ideas that don't pan out. He talked about administrative nightmare, and one of them was, we talked about, and one of those 18 items was dog waste, you know. And so, gee whiz, well, maybe we can charge people with dogs, you know. So we kind of looked at that, and we determined that it would decrease the number of people that would sign up for dog licenses and then would impact another county program significantly if we did that. One of the others that we looked at, the cost of collecting the fee was so administratively difficult that in the end, I think we got to keep such a small piece it wasn't even worth it. So some things that sound like a good idea when you actually try to collect, the cost of collecting it is so high that you can't. So there's all these variables that have to be considered. There really is. Let me just also say that Chris Clifford, who's been with the department for 2 years, a little over 2 years now. Some of you met Chris before. He's been here. He's helped Earl in the past with presentations here. Will be stepping in, at least temporarily, to be the administrative support team and liaison to the Clean Water Commission. So Chris will be working with the chair and the members of the commission. If you need things, this is your contact person. That may or may not continue. We have an opportunity to do a search for replacement to fill the position. We may or may not continue Chris in that, but for the meantime, Chris has been assigned to the Clean Water Commission as he's the most familiar person on our staff, really, other than Earl and Bobby, with the Clean Water Commission. So, and like I said, many of you know Chris, and if you don't, you'll get to know him because he'll be a regular.
So, if it says punching bag on his back,
that's right.
Can we hear?
Any questions for Dean while he's here at the moment?
Ever,
he has the same extension as Ron used to have, so 4262.
Do you ever have any counseling sessions out at Gustav's?
Gustav's?
It's a great restaurant on the east side of town.
164.
I think Jerry's inviting you to lunch.
You have to bring your own Stein.
German food, I'm there. You notice the Germany in my surname?
Yeah,
I'm there.
Don loves this stuff also. He doesn't like to drive that
car. Last time I was there, he didn't like to pay either.
Any other questions? Nope. Gentlemen, thank you very much. You're welcome to stay.
Thank you.
If you choose.
I'll be free when I leave. But if you need me, you know how to reach me.
Okay. All right, then, Chris, any other comments?
No, they can be great.
You may. Handle it.
So the next item on the agenda is listed as Google Docs training, but let me ask you a question at this particular point, maybe just a simple show of hands or comment. Have you ever used or are you familiar with Google Docs? Kate, yes. Mark, yes. Marie, yes. David, yes. David, yes. Do you use Google Docs at all?
No.
Okay.
Yes, it worked.
And Susan, you probably haven't. So really what we've got is a couple of people. So if I may suggest, I would probably like to reach out to those individuals and work with you to familiarize and do a little one-on-one if that's okay, rather than taking up the rest of the group's time as the background, and we can talk about it, work through it, play with it a little, see what the questions are, and then swing back and make sure that everybody's comfortable with moving forward for that as a tool.
I do have one question, though, and there have been some discussion over the setting up
Well, we would do it under, I guess what we'd also discussed previously, and I think agreed upon, was that we would look at moving our email addresses over to a common uniform process as well. So
I thought we were going to generate based on a certain code that you had.
Well, it would be your last name dot CWCC.
Okay.
At gmail.com. That was the
okay.
Was the
not,
setup.
Not using our private one.
No.
Yeah. No, creating your own.
So, and then we would use invitations under that CWCC to be the location for the storage of documents. So we could control it.
This whole idea of embedded with the county and everything is okay.
Well, previously I talked with Earl about it, and we'd gone through, and he'd indicated that there were no issues so long as the county had also an associated email address and access to the service. That there were no other issues. That was my understanding at the time. So
I would.
Perhaps you would follow up with the dean and make sure that you guys are.
Well, one of the things that I do want to let you know, though, is that being members of this commission, if you set up a system like that and you email to each other, you'll have to understand that those will be disclosable, those emails, because you'll be doing business of the committee. The idea, you're kind of setting yourself up. So I would caution you on the use of that email, because if you link it back into your private emails, under a very recent state Supreme Court case, it was just a few days ago, your private computer and your private email and any device that you use would then be subject to potential public disclosure and having a court go through it. So I'm just, my precaution to you is...
Does that not also, though, apply to use of a private email address for conducting business of the commission on behalf of the county anyway?
Yes. You will expose yourself
to I would prefer to have a separate email address that is explicitly for conducting business for this commission so that they don't go touch my private email.
Let's just step back just for a moment. The idea of creating an email address is different with a separate kind of thing. When you're invited to the email address is just being used as a form of authorization authentication to get to the doc in Google Docs, and to edit that document in Google Docs. It's not being used to send emails back and forth.
You can do that
and that's the reason I'm just putting that out as a precaution, and that is you can use it as an email. I recommend strongly that you be very careful about putting in your personal email into any of those communications.
It would be strictly for Clean Water Commission.
And just make sure you do that. And just remember that, if you make jokes on it.
Yeah, no asking for dates. No asking for dates. It would just be Clean Water
Commission. But if it's just a network user document,
as long as it's using the access to that document,
comments
for an individual review, and
we don't care.
It's okay, but for instance, I use that email
to him. Well, commission business is no issue.
Commission business is no issue, but how much business is there?
It's only occasional email.
Again, I'm just putting out a precaution. A lot of people, we see this with our own employees here in the county. They forget. They forget.
So, and you're right.
Do you want to dig into that a little bit more, make sure that as a department that indeed you would continue to be comfortable?
We can, just to be 100% certain. I was just talking with Bobby about kind of our IT position on it. It sounds like the use that's being proposed here is...
Because what was stated previously is that you guys would use it to communicate with one another, for commission business, and that you guys would use it to maybe comment on one document what your comments are on this, and so you can share ideas. It wouldn't be to do a whole bunch of other, you know, other stuff or share stories.
We would not be conducting personal business.
Yeah.
So we would not register that email address on our personal email servers, so that we get a combined inbox that has those emails plus our private emails in them. I mean, how do you communicate with each other without having it registered on your email?
Well, no. Well, you know, you would be an email address. So in the case of Gmail, I have four different Gmail accounts, okay? I use them for different things.
You keep them separate?
Perfectly legal, but you log into each of them separately. So if you have two or more, when you go to log in, it shows you your choice, it remembers your password, you click it, you log in, and you conduct your business, and it's just for that email address or that set of
activities. So unless you forward one, you choose another.
Right.
Yeah. And I just, my precaution is better safe than sorry.
So, but if Dean, if you'll just make sure that there are no any particular issues, assuming that there are not, then I'll actually circulate a recommendation on the establishment of email addresses, the location, how people are invited, how they're disinvited, et cetera, and the access.
Disinvited?
Your house.
I can do that. I'll communicate my findings directly to you, and
sure.
You can.
Okay.
All right. Are we going to send it up for the
session?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, in addition, two individuals that strongly suggested an interim meeting in October.
Yeah, we'll get that one.
Okay.
And I'll get to that in one. Let me sort of wrap up these other two items, and that was the special project teams, and I'm going to suggest that there's nothing to discuss at this point. Jim is not here to discuss the swamp, and in the case of the outreach for the speaking program, staff continues to work on the slide set, so we've done nothing. We don't have anything at this particular point, and of course we didn't have the report for David's team to give any feedback, so and correct me if I'm wrong, but in the case of the special working teams at this point, there's nothing to report. Yes? Okay. That was quick. Now, let's then swing to the question, if we're going to deliver feedback, combined feedback, by our November meeting and not spend most of our meeting doing this, then I hear the suggestion that we perhaps need to have an interim meeting in October, which would be the first Wednesday of October, which would be the
7th.
The 7th of October, first Wednesday.
Well, first off, before we do that, if the focus is going to be on the clean water study, I want to get a sense from everybody in the group how they would like to proceed and we're going to stop. Two options that immediately come to mind. One, that the working group, which right now only consists of Gary and I, will be looking for additional volunteers. So you have to have a minimum of three.
Well, the intent is that there be three.
No more than three. Otherwise, it becomes a public meeting.
That we ourselves would provide comments or at least collate comments from everybody. I don't want to necessarily exclude anybody.
Sure.
Or that everybody using Google Docs start to build comments around this report, and then we can have a special meeting in October to discuss those comments.
So is this document available online currently in an editable form, or is it a PDF?
Online is a PDF.
Okay, so it's not editable.
It's not editable. However,
well,
we can build a comments document.
In PDFs, you can use the comment function to add comments, but there would be lots of little comment windows all over.
You can also, there's a program called Nuance, and you can convert it. and you can, and Nuance is for, is a free. It'll, you know, really. Well, no, I haven't been charged for it yet. But you can go to Nuance, and they'll give you a password that's good for like 2 hours. You convert the document. They'll convert it to Word for you, and then you can play with it.
I'm in agreement with David that it can be one document for a question, streamline them to them, and then one for comments. And that way it's all there in one document.
Right. So it's just a matter of how we as a group want to proceed, whether we want to start with the working group or just start with everybody together.
Who would actually, is there anybody who would not want to provide some initial comments? Let's do it that way. Instead of who wants to do it, who wouldn't want to provide initial comments?
I really think that David's got a good question, and I would be willing to interview any time. Interim district kind of get our team position, on how we're going to comment or work, kind of chance to lead it this way. Having a free fall of comments, I think without a bit of structure is going to be just chaos.
Well, logistically, it's difficult because we only have paper form at the moment, etc.
Like Chris said, I can convert any PDF document into a text document.
That's not an issue.
I don't want to exclude any member of this commission from providing comments just because they're not.
That's just a really important document.
You're the Google Docs guy. Does Google Docs work? Does it work in a way that allows an individual to check out the document, make their comments, and return the document before a second or third person can also check out the document?
Not to the best of my knowledge. There is a Microsoft product that would allow
that. I don't think that you can work on a document if the document is used by
You can
see why I'm asking the question.
Yeah. There is, Microsoft has their product, which does allow it to be checked out, not edited in SharePoint. But we don't have access to SharePoint, and it is an expensive option.
David, I would think the former option that you probably preferred. All of us put comments into a Google Docs type format, but then the working group uses those comments to kind of incorporate and synthesize it into a meaningful document we can come back and look at.
Back in the dinosaur age, we have skeletons, and we have excreting with sandwiches. We had, visuals. We have stars, and we throw comments, and she'd write them on the whiteboard. You go up and put a star by something that you thought was feeling. It was a brainstorming free-for-all for the first couple of years.
Yep, and yet we're charged with this point of returning feedback on this document by November.
Yes.
And that's really what we're not really looking for solutions.
We're not looking for solutions right now.
We're just looking for
the support that we would like Dean's group to be focusing their time and attention.
So we don't know if there's going to be a lot of comments or very few.
We have a path forward, but it's all moved until we all read the document. Until we were promised quite some time ago. And so now that we're right up to the edge here, how long can we agree on maybe how time limit on, we've all read the document and oral comment? Would that be like 2 weeks, or does it have to be a month? Where we can say, okay, you all read the document, we made notes and highlighted or whatever we did, we're ready to begin this collaborative comment process. How, you know, is a certain reserve, like 2 weeks or something like that, that we can give ourselves to say, okay, we've read the document and we're ready to start, and we can make some comments now.
So how long would, let me ask, how long would it take to get this Google Docs site set up so that people can start off?
Matter of minutes.
Okay. So the
first thing we have to do is we have to agree that we'll convert the PDF document into an editable document, and that's presuming that everybody has comfort with the use of something like Word. And is there a version of Word? Sorry, but if we just drop it straight into Google's Doc and convert it to that, then we've got that standard format, so we get away from conversion. So it'll be a matter of minutes to set it up and then convert it to minutes as well.
2013, you can open a PDF in Word and it's editable. Is it possible just to mail a copy of this document in Word format so we don't have to go through all that? Make sure that it doesn't get stuff lost in translation because some of these PDF translators lose the
concept. The reason you use Google Docs is because it's a single format, irrespective of what people do or do not have. You know, right offhand, I don't know if everybody has Word.
So the answer, David, is
if we gave ourselves a couple of days to convert the document.
Right.
Provide a location and then send the invites to people, then you can go in and do it.
My understanding is that we thought about even having a meeting in October. Really, what it would essentially be is make sure that everyone's on board with using Google, so we have that out of the way, and then discussing where we all are.
Discussing the comments.
Discussing just the comments, just so we don't take up the whole meeting, or next meeting.
This document is pretty well organized, okay? And I think that it would be probably the easiest way to handle this would be to just go through the document. You don't have to edit the original document. You don't even have to change the original document. What you can simply do is notate, this document is so well organized. It's got section 1, section 2, section 3, you know, it's got this 2.1, 2. Whatever, and you can simply have a separate document entitled Comments KS, or Comments SR, or Comments DM, right? Or in my case, DM, right? Whatever, okay? And have that separate document that's only yours. And you can notate what section it is and what your comment is, if it's a correction or if it's an addition or if it's an idea that was completely left off or whatever it happens to be. And then when that coordinating, merging meeting occurs, then the team can take that and merge that into the original document by just simply going through it and saying, look, this ain't saying. They can cut and paste it from the original comments if that's the way they start to do it.
Okay. 24th it is.
So we want our comments on the document.
Now, the question that I have for you is whether or not you want to have a special meeting to discuss our findings collaboratively together. In early October, as we have talked about, so that we're in position by the November meeting to make our recommendations.
So what's the feeling? Would you prefer to be able to get together, walk through the feedback that's occurred, have a discussion that leads to hopefully a finalized document? Is that
I would.
Sure.
So,
yes, David?
I agree.
Yes. Susan? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well, it appears that all of the Clean Water Commissioners in attendance at the meeting this evening would support having a special meeting at 6:30 p.m. on the first Wednesday of October.
October 7th.
I won't be able to be here.
So, Bobby, do you want a motion and a second? Yes?
This is your meeting.
All right. So,
I would make the motion that we have an interim meeting on October 7th to discuss our reviews and get a collaborative consensus on
So we have a motion by Commissioner You love it when you go for it, yeah?
Good stuff.
Commissioner Schaefer. Have a special meeting in October. Oh,
just
trying to help you. And a second by Commissioner McDevitt. Good, you have to wait for science from now. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any dissents? Motion carries unanimously, 8-0.
Can I throw one thing out just to maybe... Everybody can decide on a separate document. Your proposal? Is that what was accepted?
My proposal is just create a new document with right. Your own initials.
Would it help at all, just as a kind of a running start on this? I actually have a template. I'm a reviewer for a Journal of Ecological Engineering, so I actually have a template, general specific. I can send it to you.
Sure.
It just as a starting point, so everybody's documents and comments are similar in format.
Yeah, well, that's correct.
I'm just looking at the way that this document is so well structured that all you have to do basically is to say section 2.1. Words, blah, 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 changes,
yeah,
blah,
and that's,
blah, blah.
Yeah, that's what right. This is going to be. Yeah.
And so forth. Section, because my pet peeve happens to be vehicles, section 3.6.8, registered vehicle fees, change words, blah, 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 add new paragraph.
Robin, if I create them, I have to establish a password. You can certainly go in and change the password. So let me ask you the question. Because the invitation should occur to the email address that you'll be using soon. But at case point, if it's acceptable to you, I will create your last name .cwcc@gmail.com. And I'll establish an absolute simple password to start. I'll email that to all your current accounts. You will then need to log in and please change the password to something of your own preference, because then the Google Doc invitation would then occur. Now, we do have the one outstanding here, and Dean's going to double check to make sure that this is all perfectly set up. Bobby,
be quick.
As a point of clarification, in your last meeting, you said it was going to be your last name .ccwc.
Okay.
And you have been stating that differently this time, so I wanted to make sure to clarify that.
Listen, that's fabulous. So you are correct. I will amend my comments to last name .ccwc@gmail.com. Following the format that was approved in the meeting notes for the last meeting. Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Welcome to the technical task.
Are there any other individuals? I mean, we don't have.
We can go up to four.
three, we can take one more volunteer if anybody is interested. You don't have to say it now. Think about it.
Let us know if so. All right, then the next item is commission comments. Any comments that the commission members would like to make about any experiences, interactions, or other items relating to the Clean Water Commission business?
I
just
you working on the slideshow
that girl's starting up. I have just recently gotten my first look at that, and that is something that I'm going to need to discuss with Dean about how he sees moving forward on that. The slideshow that I was shown, the one that I was able to get, was over 60 slides, and it's just too much.
Just to be clear, that our intent was to whittle it down to no more than target of a dozen slides that could be used in approximately a 10 to 15 minute presentation. Period.
Yeah.
So that was the objective. And so the slide set that we'd originally played with was certainly totally imperfect, but it was our attempt to sort of crunch it all down. And just for the record, it's been sitting in the queue since about February of this year.
Who's the intended audience for this?
This is outreach groups. So we would reach to the public. So, Rotaries, I mean, any groups that would have any interest in clean water topic, that this would be used in that presentation, lead discussion, that we would then take any questions from the group. And if we weren't absolutely 110% sure we could answer them accurately, we would take notes and we would tell them we would get back to them, and then we would submit data to the process. So we get proper answers and make sure that those got back out. So there's a full record and accurate answers.
Okay.
But it needs to be about Marie's point. The whole thing has been getting it to about a dozen slides or so.
Yeah.
But that's okay. What we've been waiting since for.
So outreach is an element of this commission.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, that's one of the three working teams that we have. One of those teams is tasked with going to the public, and can't go to the public if you don't have materials, because the current slide set not only was outdated, but was so long, it was untenable.
Yeah, that was one of the tasks Earl was supposed to be assisting with.
That may be the one I saw.
But
I don't know.
And I don't know if the one that Chris ended up with was the most recent one, or if the one Earl was working with disappeared. But at least we have some historical ones that we should be able to...
To Marie's point, I think what we'd like to do is make sure that when you guys have got it to where you think you're pretty comfortable, we want to be able to review it and make sure that when we're comfortable, we think that it covers the topic areas. And we also wanted to make sure that there was some sort of an option, depending on the group, to potentially customize a slide or maybe two if there was something very specific and relevant to a particular neighborhood association or group, et cetera, so it's more meaningful to them specifically. We obviously have to have a process to work through.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll give that some immediate attention.
We would appreciate it, because as we get to the end and write our report starting in a few months, we will actually be commenting that there are several of these working groups that we've really honestly not gotten anything done with this year. So there will be some gaps in our self-evaluation for various reasons. So any other questions, public comment, or comments? Yes.
I've had a lot of public participation in the last couple of weeks. I had a landowner call me, and concerning Habitat Covenant, how the team imposed upon the 5-acre new home that was built. She said, the question was, do I, because our work dovetails so much with the habitat ordinance and the wetlands and all of that stuff, so I started to help her out. That's why I had an hour long, actually an hour and a half long meeting that day with Don trying to resolve it. The Northern Task Force for the Covenant would have been, and I don't know how that this got to be a demand on the landowner, but it was. They didn't know that it was optional, and that they were required to plant 41 Doug fir. And it just so happened that they were going to be planted in the drain field of the septic. So,
that's part of the problem over time.
I went out there. We got, I think we have the covenant removed. And but when Biologist went out there to check on the covenant, he was walking there on the western property line, which abuts the Chalacha Ferry Railroad easement, the 50-foot easement that comes on the property. And he was writing his report and taking pictures, and nobody talked to him. And 3 days later, the landowner gets a three-page report on how they had disturbed the wetlands in the buffer. And they didn't know they had wetlands there. And as far as they knew, they were removing the old briars and berries from taking down the old barbed wire pasture fence. So the lawn had rusted and grown through the big dug fir along the. So, friend of mine and I started doing research, and I happened to know the adjoining landowner on the other side of the railroad road. And he took us out there, and his family's been farming there for 5 generations. And he said, well, those aren't wetlands. What you have down there are borrow pits. I never had heard that word before. B-O-R-R-O-W. Material pits. Going back to 1902, when the railroad bought those easements and they increased the grade going up to meet Balzon Lake. Well, lo and behold, this western part of this property had one of the first trestles there. And they went out and bought dirt from local farmers. And this one farmer showed us, took us out of his gator, a 3-acre piece where they took all of the topsoil off of that acreage. And his borrow pit is like a 1/4 acre in size. So, yeah, it's a man-made wetland.
It's a man-made wetland that has been there and has been delineated prior to the mid-90s. And the law on man-made wetlands is they're exempt unless they were created prior to a certain date. And the borrow pits that you're talking about were clearly constructed and had started taking on these components of being a wetland long before that cutoff date under law.
Well, the landowner hired a geologist, and this fellow came out. And, you know, what is the brought his shovel out, and this guy's been doing this for 50 years. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, I don't have to take any soil samples. I can tell you right now what we have. And he says, you have 100-plus years of silt coming down off of the berms, the railroad berms. And he says, you have standing water, and it's a pool.
Yeah, there were on this particular case where the landowners may be getting relief is that the door opening is that there had been testing out there and that it had been delineated a wetland, but they had not done the soil samples. So there may be some wiggle room here. But, I mean, we are bound by the law, and we have to follow the rules of the law. Doesn't mean that we disagree with them. Doesn't mean that I don't think that it kind of stinks that, you know, according to the one farmer, he's been there forever. It never was a wetland before. Somebody went in and made it. It doesn't seem to connect necessarily to the waters of the U.S. or anything. And again, we're not going to disagree that that seems to be probably unfair, but the fact is we have to obey the law, and we have to follow the law.
Right. And you know, there's certain protocols, and you know, going back to state law, and number one is soil. And our biologist didn't take any soil samples. You know, he took pictures. He didn't go down in there. He didn't do any measuring. I went down in there. I measured.
It's already delineated. It's been delineated as
a wetland. They didn't know it was delineated because the briars were 8-10 feet tall in some places. They didn't see the flag of the delineation until they had knocked down the briars. And then they started seeing these pink flags down in there.
Well, I mean, our
and
biologists.
No wetlands came up in their building permit. They didn't need one.
Well,
so
the people that sold them the property knew the wetland was there. The church that sold them that property knew the wetland was there.
Well, you know, my question is it truly a wetland that requires a 40-foot buffer?
Like I said, we're reviewing it. They may be able to get some relief through soil testing. That is probably something that they will have to do themselves.
That goes back to the process that was used when the biologist came out there and just did, you know, essentially a look-see of what was there. And he didn't do any soil samples. He didn't follow protocol to deem this a wetland, thus a 40-foot buffer.
It had already been deemed a wetland. It had already been delineated.
Well,
it's not for him to come back out and re-delineate. It was already delineated. It has been identified there for a substantial period of time.
Well, it's not on the National Wetlands Inventory.
No.
And nobody has applied the cultural history and the railroad for that region in any reports that I have seen and concerning the borrowing.
Okay, so they're working through the issue.
Yes, we're working through the issue. I'm trying to help this landowner.
What's the impact of the 40-foot buffer? Does that reduce the amount of usable land?
It takes, my estimate, a third of an acre.
So they lose the use of land?
Yes.
Yeah, they would have to buffer.
He's going to fence it, and it was the railroad historically has put fences on both sides. I went to the neighbor that I know, Al Schumacher, and he showed me the fence is still, you know, very sturdy. The railroad replaced in 1987, I believe. And the one on the other property was all rusted, and they were knocking it down. But it was fenced to keep, it's an old dairy farm, to keep the cattle out of the pit. So, you know, the fence is still there, and the geologist thought, well, that fence, you know, that has, you know, historical relevance also, and which is inside, well inside stuff. But then the biologist came back and said that they disturbed 9,000 square feet, and, you know, I measured it, and they disturbed about 3,000. They disturbed what was actually on their, you know, outside the buffer. The report was a little bit harsh on this landowner. And, you know, the fact that protocols weren't followed, this is kind of concerning.
Well, I'm going to respectfully disagree with your assessment that protocols weren't followed.
You're working with Kevin on this? You're working with Kevin?
Yes. On this? Yeah. And Eric went out there. we have not engaged in any. We have done what we are required to do by code and by law. And we are investigating it. We are working with the landowner. And we will do what we can do for them under law. But we can only do that.
And Don's in this conversation, I'm sure.
I would imagine that, yes.
Right. Thank you, Susan, for bringing that up. Any other comments from the commissioners before we move to our second public comment session? Since we did have a public member join us. subsequently to start. Hearing none, then we will move to the final item and open for public comments. Any comments from the public?
No.
Okay. Hearing none. Any other business before the commission for this evening? Then I shall bring the meeting to close for the Clean Water Commission for the second day of September 2015 at 8:26 p.m.